But also, I lacked any interest or care in something as simple as eating and drinking water. I wouldn't get up. A lot of people watch TV a lot when they're depressed. I didn't even do that because I just felt like literally everything was pointless. Putting clothes on, showering, brushing my teeth, feeding the dogs. Every little thing was so overwhelming that I could not fathom getting things done. I couldn't see myself getting through the day, every single day. I'd wake up in the morning instantly wishing that I was still asleep forever. Like, I just never wanted to be awake.
Hey there, I'm Victoria, a certified Christian life coach, author, motivational speaker, and university educator, and I am obsessed with helping you navigate through life's ups and downs so that you can live day by day in God's peace despite the many external demands on your time and energy. The Choose to Think Inspirational podcast is about the delicate dance between God transforming you from the inside out and your personal responsibility for change, maturity, and refinement as a Christ follower. On the show, I'll help you connect the dots between your faith and your life in practical, meaningful ways while giving God room to do what only He can do, and so that you can shine your light for Christ and be better equipped to serve your family and help others around you. You can change every area of your life, one thought at a time. Welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast, Brain Changer. Let's dive in. Everybody, and welcome or welcome back to the Choose to Think podcast. Gosh, I get to talk about pickleball today and I get to talk about mental health. Those are two of my favorite things to talk about on the show. Plus, I get to have just such a dear individual on the show. I know his parents and such a wonderful and amazing family. And I want to tell you a little bit about Will Martin. He says this, he says, it all began with another episode of major depression and a forced trip to the pickleball courts. Despite his reluctance to go, that one time he was forced to go. I'm thinking his parents forced him to go. He found peace there for the first time that day. After a few months and several more trips, the sport helped to pull himself back together, to look forward to something, and to focus on something positive. And most importantly, to find a way to reach out to those who are also struggling and to let them know that they are not alone in their battle. Mental health has always been this quote behind the curtain topic that almost all of us or those we love struggle with. Matter of fact, I'm going to share some statistics with you as Will and I chat, but it never seems to be okay to talk about it, right? We're all kind of embarrassed or we kind of huddle back and maybe we don't know how to deal with certain individuals who are suffering. They don't have optimal mental health. We talk about that a lot on the show, enjoying optimal emotional health, physical health, you know, your feelings and being healthy in all of those ways. We talk about that a lot on the show, but when we're suffering, sometimes we don't talk about it. We shy away from that. And Will's kind of picked up the torch and says, hey, this needs to end. We all struggle and it's okay to seek help. There is support out there. Mental health is health. It's healthy to be mentally healthy. And it shouldn't be something to be ashamed of or pushed aside when we're not mentally healthy and when we need to be mentally healthy and we want to be mentally healthy. And so he has the hashtag Stop the Stigma. So our conversation, we go from kind of the background of Will's story, starting from the beginning, and we go all the way through to where he really is today. And one of the turning points for him was finding purpose. So if you feel a little bit listless, or if you're feeling even depressed, maybe someone shared this episode with you to try to encourage you and to offer you a little bit of hope, you're going to find it. And some of that is wound up in purpose. There is purpose in your pain, and God will show the way when it comes to that. Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Psalm 34 says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. 2 Corinthians 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So a part of Will's mission and his purpose is to kind of encourage those who are suffering and to help them, and through his own story. By his pain, he's found such purpose. Even Jesus says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in Isaiah 41, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And all that to say, you know, we know how encouraging the Bible can be for us. It's living and acting. It's the word of God. However, sometimes just hearing a Bible verse be enough in the moment when you're depressed. It's like you can't have the clarity of thought or mind to really grasp what that means. But there is good news, and we're going to pour out our complaints and our trials and our sorrows. We're going to pour those out to the Lord. He hears us, even when we're depressed. I even share some of my depression story as I chat with Will, because I could relate so much to what he was saying. Depression is real. And for me personally, I had to align my thoughts. I had to do a little bit of a wheel realignment, like you do on your car, except I needed my thoughts to be realigned properly so I could run better with the word of God. So now I can read those verses, and they can be so encouraging to me to know that I have a heavenly Father who I can cry out to when I'm in despair and when I need help and when I need to find hope. And I know that he listens and he's there. You're going to see in the show that Will basically is stopping the stigma, hashtag stop the stigma, in five ways. He's, or at least in some of these ways, through education and awareness. That's a part of his purpose. He encourages open dialogue about mental health issues. He promotes positive representation. You know, he is an individual who portrays being an overcomer. He has overcome something that is so difficult and that so many are challenged by now. And so we can look to him as a role model. He could be the poster child for us of someone who says, you know, my depression had purpose, and now I am on fire and I'm on the war path to stop this stigma when it comes to mental health. He at one point may advocate for policy and legislative changes. And then, of course, he's also offering a lot of community support and involvement. Matter of fact, I think he would love nothing more than for you, after you hear him today, to reach out through his business websites, through the email exchange there, and just let him know how much this meant. Or you can comment on this podcast episode. If you're watching on YouTube, drop a comment below so that Will will know that you've been encouraged by his very hard work. So without further ado, here is Will Martin. Well, hey there, Will, and welcome to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. Definitely. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. And it's going to be all I can do to keep from grinning ear to ear, because I get to talk about two of my favorite things on the show today. One of them would be pickleball, and the other one, a little bit more serious, of course, would be mental health. And right. I really just applaud you for what you're doing. And even the hashtag that you have, stop the stigma. I think I have that right, right? Stop the stigma. Yep. Your journey, what you've been through, and now that you're kind of the face for a young man who says, you know, there are other options out there. There is a way to get beyond this. Mental health is such a real thing, but there's a lot of hope, and it's not the end of the story, so to speak. And, you know, we go way back, of course. Maybe we could talk about that just for a second, but I'm trying to think about when I first met you. It's definitely tied into your story about, you know, overcoming depression and dealing with all of that. But, and I can't really even remember when I first met your parents, but I think it was, I'm going to say, like, maybe, could it be 4 years ago? Could it be maybe even five? I don't know. But
I think it was, 4 years ago, I think. Sounds right.
Yeah, I do remember when you first started coming to the pickleball court too. So, you know, that was really interesting. There you were just playing your heart out. It's like there was one point in time when I could kind of beat you on the pickleball.
Yeah, definitely.
As you were just learning the strokes and everything.
Right.
Those were the days. But now anyone who knows Will could, you know, he'll just beat your socks off is what he'll do nowadays. He's so good. But it's so fun. And I'm glad we're going to kind of tie all this in together. But I wanted to start with an article. I researched a little bit, finding some information about this, because as many of my viewers or the audience knows, the listeners, I went through a deep depression back in 2016. And for me, what kind of got me over the hump was when a mentor challenged me to learn what it meant to take my thoughts captive. So I came at it from a real biblical worldview and a biblical point of view to really overcome that. It changed my life, actually. But I have such a heart for those who are aching and who are low and who are really depressed. It's such a real thing. It's such a struggle. And it's so very hard. Do you want to talk a little bit, maybe before I get into the article, about your own journey and what hold depression had on you? Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about that?
Yeah, so my depression started pretty much my sophomore year of college. I think it was around a little bit before then as well. But I had an incident in college where somebody actually put something in my drink, and they had no intention of hurting me. It was actually a close friend, and he was more or less pulling a prank, so he thought. And his expectations were to take care of me, and just, he was just kind of messing around, I guess, from the story that I gathered later. He didn't know, nobody knew that it would cause such an effect on me, but it did change my brain chemicals. If I didn't have depression before that, it definitely happened afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah, I've always since then struggled with depression quite a bit. But there's over the years, I've learned a lot of techniques and a lot of different therapies and things that have helped me manage it. I like how you said earlier to hold your thoughts captive. That truly is the biggest step in the right direction. Once you can really kind of learn to understand your thoughts, ultimately control them. That's really when you start to get a grasp on your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings, put you kind of back into the right direction. So I really liked how you said that hold your thoughts captive. That definitely is extremely important.
I think so. And can you, Will, you know, I've seen you kind of from when I first met you, and I've able firsthand kind of witnessed changes in your life. Otherwise kind of casual friends, you know, I know your parents very well, love them dearly. Who doesn't love Doug and Kat, right? So I've just kind of had maybe a different angle, just very otherwise kind of casual, and just kind of watching you come to the court a lot and persist in that. For others, I mean, and then I see you now and what you're doing in your life, and that you have had the courage to hold up the torch and say, gosh, we got to do something about this. You know, a lot of people may think that, but they're not willing to say, by golly, I'm going to do something about that. And that's what you and your family are doing now. And it's just so heroic, really. But I want you to give everyone maybe just another glimpse into what being depressed might have been like for you.
Mental health, for me, everyone can experience it a little bit differently from what I am aware of. But for me, one, I had no appetite, but also I lacked any interest or care in something as simple as eating and drinking water. Things, I wouldn't get up. I wouldn't. A lot of people watch TV a lot when they're depressed. I didn't even do that because I just felt like literally everything was pointless. Even making a call to a doctor, I just couldn't get myself to do it. It was such a weird and confusing feeling because I knew I needed to. I knew it was a step in the right direction, but actually making the call and dialing the numbers, it just honestly just seemed so difficult. It also made me feel extremely confused because I knew it was an easy task that I was trying to do, but it seems truthfully an extremely difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. Putting clothes on, showering, brushing my teeth, feeding the dogs, every little thing was so overwhelming that I could not fathom getting things done. I couldn't see myself getting through the day, every single day. I'd wake up in the morning instantly wishing that I was still asleep forever. Like, I just never wanted to be awake. Other than, extremes of like thoughts of suicide and things like that, I had all of those. Really, even the smallest things really were something that were, it was such a hard fight just to do the small things. And that freaked me out because something so simple should not be so hard. And I really had a hard time wrapping my head around things being so difficult that I really knew weren't that hard.
And then it is weird. And it's the irony there is that then you guilt yourself for not doing something so simple that, you know, yeah. Which only makes it worse, right? Because why can't I do that? And, you know, if I were to kind of compare in a way your depression and my depression, I always call myself a functioning person who was depressed. I think I just made up that term. I don't know. But for whatever reason, I was able to do those things. And I also had children. So I had 4 kids. Now they were older. They were in their teenage years at that time. And some were, I think my daughter may have even been married at that time. Well, she was. I know she was because her husband brought me roses once. My son-in-law was so sweet. He's like, Mom, we don't know what's going on with you, but here are some roses. I mean, it was just so sweet because everyone, family is impacted by, because they're heartbroken as they see their loved one aching and in such a state, and they're absolutely, they feel powerless outside of prayer to really make any change or to, we just sometimes, you know, we don't know what to do to help the one who is hurting and we're watching them hurt. And, but I was able to do things, but then as soon as I did those things, then I would just go to bed. And right. I loved sleeping too. It was like, if I could just get to sleep, but I couldn't fall asleep. So I would listen to podcasts or, you know, sermons, or I would have to have something to engage my mind so that I wouldn't keep thinking whatever I was thinking that was so, you know, depressing in nature. And I was very tearful also. I would cry a lot. Like maybe I would watch my granddaughter for the afternoon and I would really have to muster up everything I could to just kind of be like a happy grandmother and do fun things. And then the instant I dropped her off, I would just be bawling in the car as I'm driving home. I mean, it was very just, there were such contrasts in how I kind of faked it in a way and kept on going, yet how I really felt. Did you have any of that too? Or at some
point? I did. And live behind some like a barrier almost. But I definitely did my best to fit in. But then you always kind of think in the back of your mind, like, you know, I think they can tell that I'm not okay. There's a lot of fear there. And you were talking a lot about family and how they're impacted earlier. And there's a lot of fear there too at a certain point. Once it gets to a devastating point where it's a life or death and you're fighting for your life every single day, they definitely get fearful as well. And it's a burden that I would never want to put on anybody. And I try to tell myself that I'm not putting a burden on people. Just, I don't want to take blame for that. But at the same time, it is putting a burden on people. But it's because of the fact that they care and that they want to help. So
they do. And that's what family is for. And as a parent, you would take the bullet. You would do whatever for your kids. So I would never begrudge my child for aching or for hurting. Never. Wouldn't even be a thought I would have. It would just be, we're in this together. And I'm quite certain that's how your family felt, even though as the person, as you, it's just another way that we pile on the guilt onto us even more. It's just, we know they love us, but then we hate that we're kind of putting them through this too. And then you keep putting it back on ourselves. Well, what was the turning point for you, would you say? And thank you, by the way, for being so vulnerable and for sharing those. I found myself kind of, my heart was kind of beating fast as you were talking, because I kind of get a little sense of that. And it's like, oh gosh, I don't want to ever go back there again. You know, as I kind of relay that and talk about that, it's, it, I, I can empathize with that a lot, and I appreciate your vulnerability and even just sharing that, Will. But what, tell us, what was the turning point for you, or do you think it was?
It's high time to elevate your love and faith with Pickleball Passion, a marriage devotional. Strengthen your connection on and off the court in just 21 days. Each day's devotion guides you to a deeper, more fulfilling marriage and offers you tips and tricks while playing pickleball together, whether you're a seasoned pickleball enthusiast or just starting out. This devotional is your ticket to a joyful journey of love and faith. Order now and make 2024 the year your relationship thrives and you level up your game.
So I can think of two kind of turning points for me. They're just both in a little bit different aspects. For my own mental and physical health, really, the turning point was the first time I stepped on a pickleball court. On another side of it, my turning point was finding a purpose through my depression, or using my depression and anxiety as a tool to help others. It's a little tough to explain, but like, I went through a lot of thoughts of like, why is this happening to me? A lot of people do. That's a very common thought. But I really felt like there was a purpose, even in such a negative position in life. I've always thought there's a purpose for everything. And I always just wondered like, why? What is the purpose? And I was always questioning. But I never for years could figure it out. Like, I just felt like I was going through this by myself. And there was really no I just didn't understand. I had so many questions. And then I finally realized, you know, the only thing I could think of for God allowing me to go through this is to help other people through it. That was, Amen. That's the only thing that could even make sense to me. There's really no other reason that I could think of. And once I kind of realized, like, you know what, maybe my purpose and the reason I'm going through this is to make other people feel better or prevent it in the first place, even. So kind of from that day forward, I just kind of decided I wanted to dedicate my life and everything I do to helping other people get through struggles, or at least gain the knowledge to when they do, or if they do come across some sort of pain or misery, that they will at least have a little bit of experience or knowledge. That was pretty much my other turning point. That one wasn't necessarily for me, but it definitely gave me a direction and a purpose, so to speak. So those are two different turning
points. Yeah, that is really powerful, because sometimes being depressed, I think we can feel a lack of purpose. It's easy to kind of get stuck in, you know, what am I even here for kind of thinking, and what is all of this about, and why is this happening? Like you said, so that God was able to kind of download, wait a minute, I'm going to use your life and your experience as a testimony to help other people. That's really, really powerful. And I want to read some of these statistics, and some of it is very basic. I got this from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, a government agency. And as they're describing what is even mental health, and it's fairly broad, but it includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. It determines how we handle stress, relate to others, and make healthy choices. Mental health, being healthy mentally, is important at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence through adulthood. And then they talk about why mental health is so important for overall health. They're saying that mental and physical health are equally important components of overall health. Depression increases the risk for many types of physical health problems, like long-lasting conditions such as diabetes, heart disease, and even stroke. And you can think about the stress that even goes along with the depression and the anxiety we feel and all of that, and how that is just impacting our physical bodies, which I think in part is why when you did begin to play pickleball and you started physically exercising, making yourself get out there, you're kind of naturally athletic and gifted in that way anyway, it seems. And you're having fresh air, getting fresh air, vitamin D, sunshine, a community. Suddenly you have a community of like-minded individuals who are just there to kind of have fun and beat the ball around. All of that is going to help relieve the stress and help kind of take the top off of some of the anxiety and some of those adverse effects that come when we are depressed. This was so interesting to me, where they talked about how common mental illness is. And it says that more than 1 in 5 U.S. adults live with a mental illness. About 1 in 25 U.S. adults live with a serious mental illness, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or major depression. And they talk also about what even causes mental illness issues. And they just name a few of those, like adverse childhood experiences, like trauma, experiences related to other ongoing chronic medical conditions like cancer or diabetes, that can obviously be a real trial or a hardship to go through, biological factors or chemical imbalances in the brain, use of alcohol or drugs, having feelings of loneliness or isolation. More and more nowadays, mental health, there's a crisis going on. Even the epidemic of loneliness, speaking of that, it's such a real issue. So I'm just so grateful that God really has called you for such a time as this. And I wonder, Will, what would you say to that person? Let's say someone just stumbled upon this episode and they're tuning in because they're depressed or they're feeling so anxious and overwhelmed. What would you say to them? How would you encourage them?
The biggest thing I'd want to say, and it's hard to really get them to believe it just from saying it, but is that they're not alone. I think almost everybody that struggles with some sort of mental illness, they are alone. They're people don't understand them. They're different. And it might not even be as obvious as like, oh, I'm in this by myself. But they just feel a little bit different, you know, every day, just a little bit different. They're worried that people are judging them a little bit. And those over time, that little bit of a difference in your feeling over time, that plays a huge role. And I definitely say, like, there are tons and tons of people out there that are struggling with the same thing. It's just that they don't want to talk about it. They don't feel comfortable talking about it. That's something I've learned through what I'm doing, is how many people there really are with stories similar or worse. Or I mean, there's so many. Even just this morning, I had someone thank me and open up about how they have a disorder themselves. And it shocked me because I knew this person and I had no idea. Doing what I do, I hear a lot of different stories, you know, a lot of horrific stories, but you know, they're going to turn out okay and they're going to be good. But I really definitely notice now how many people really are inspired by me opening up so much. It really helps me keep doing what I'm doing, because I'm now seeing how much of a difference it really is making. That really is what keeps driving me to keep doing it.
Oh, I bet. That's so motivating, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. I feel like I'm finally not suffering for no reason, you know, it just gives me, I'm so grateful for everybody that has talked to me and told me their stories and felt comfortable sharing what they've gone through. And it really, really does give me answers that what I'm trying to do really is making a difference in the world.
It really does matter. And your hashtag, Stop the Stigma, there is such a stigma. Yet I just read these statistics. 1 in 5 is suffering from a mental health issue. 1 in 5 people. I mean, just think of yourself standing in line at Kroger. 1 in 5. I mean, that's a lot of people. Yet, are we talking about it? You know, I mean, I try to talk about it a lot on the show because that was really what led me to even start the podcast and Choose to Think, and that the, you know, being transformed by the renewing of your mind and taking those thoughts captive, that was really, it all came about because of that. I did interview someone on the show. I don't know if you heard that podcast episode, but he was in the movie and produced the movie called Let Me Have My Son. And his son suffered from, I don't want to quote it now because I'm not remembering exactly, but it was very extreme mental health issue, and a lot of us suffer from that, and there is help and there is hope. And I really think that what you said about encouraging that individual, you're not alone. You're not alone. We've got statistics, but you're also not alone in the sense of there is hope and there is help out there. So we really do applaud you for for what you're doing, Will. And can you even just talk a little bit, though, about what pickleball really did for you? And
the first thing that comes to mind is it just got me out. You know, it got me off the couch. As simple as that. Off the couch, outside, running around, which obviously releases endorphins and all those good things.
That's true.
But the biggest thing for me was the community within pickleball. It's the people. It's such a social sport. You're closer together than tennis, you know, so you can talk the whole game. Just having the friendships to have that community. But yeah, it was definitely an instant thing for me when I played pickleball. Right away, I was noticing I was feeling a little better on my way home. As I got into it more and more, got more and more friends asking to play, and just it was something that was very, very good. Kept me active, and then I wanted to eat well so that I'd play well. So it kind of helped the physical stuff as well as the mental, and it really just all tied together. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's just amazing. I mean, I just love it. Pickleball's really changed a lot of lives, I think, and it's no wonder that it's the fastest growing sport in the world, because people say it's addictive, right? But yeah. What I think we're addicted to in that sense is what you just nailed. I mean, you nailed it, because we look at what we went through with COVID even, and many of us were still playing through COVID. I mean, we were still going to the gym and still playing, but it was because we wanted that connect. We wanted the social connection. People need people. We need each other to do life with. We're not meant to just kind of exist on our own like that.
Okay.
How did you overcome any hesitations or societal pressures to openly discuss your struggles? And what advice would you offer to others facing similar challenges? In other words, one day you're struggling with depression and you're starting to kind of see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, or things are shifting in your life, but that's a big jump from then being an advocate for breaking the stigma and stopping the stigma of mental illness. So how did you get the courage to actually step out and begin making a difference that you've noticed?
Of course, it didn't happen overnight. Once I started feeling a little bit better on the court, I started talking to just a few people about mental health and mine in particular, people that would be a little bit more accepting of it. From there, I just kind of expanded, started talking to a little bit more people. And then there came a point, it was kind of when I realized that I felt like it was my calling to talk to people about it. Once I realized that and I found the purpose within my suffering, once I found that purpose and I kind of knew what I needed to do, and I just went all out after that. I said, you know what? I don't care if the stigmas behind mental health, I don't know how to explain it really, but I don't mind if people judge me, or I just like let all those fears go. I didn't really care so much about what people would think. I just figured if they're going to judge me for it, don't want to be around me because of it, you know what? Fine. That's their journey. But I'm going to do what I feel like I should be doing. And the people that are accepting of it will accept it. And the people that want to listen will listen. So I just took a big leap of faith and I went all out, to be honest. I started the website and the MHA Athletics, the brand. And I started talking to people about it at all my pickleball tournaments. I'd talk to everybody I could. Got T-shirts with the logo and says "Stop the Stigma," just to let people know that I'm supporting it. After a while, it just kind of it caught on, and people would come up to me that I'd never met and share their stories. Just from doing that and starting it, it was kind of self-encouraging. Once I saw that people wanted to come up and talk to me about their stories, I was like, man, this is working, because that's the whole point of it, was to get people to open up and feel comfortable enough with me to share their personal struggles and their stories. And when I started seeing people do that, I mean, it was amazing. I'm like, I'm literally doing what I'm trying to do. And every time I hear somebody open up, it's a reminder, like it is working. It is. People and making people talk about it. And that's the whole goal.
Yeah, it's like a single spark, right? A single spark starts that forest fire. That's awesome.
And there definitely has been a little bit of struggle, you know, with the journey. Some people do, I wouldn't want to say avoid me, you know, or anything. I don't think they do that. But some people still are a little skeptical because of the stigmas of mental health. They don't know what to expect. They don't know, they just aren't educated on it, I think. There's some of that, but you know, those are the things that I plan to hopefully fix for people in the future. You know, hopefully we can move past that and people will see that really it's okay.
Well, talk a little bit, Will, about the diadem paddle that you designed.
So I designed the mental health awareness paddle through Diadem. Created a logo to put on there. It has the semicolon, which is kind of like the depression symbol, so to speak, where in punctuation, it's where a sentence should stop, but it kind of keeps going, just like a person's life. It feels like it should be over, but you know, you just keep chugging on, just keep pushing.
Right.
One day at a time.
The story's not over. That's right.
Right. It's not. And then I incorporated a heart in there because I feel like you have to have love for yourself and other people. I just think that's very, very important. The green ribbon is also in there, the mental health awareness ribbon. And I just kind of pushed it all together into one logo, created the paddle. And that's on the paddle Diadem Edge, which is a great paddle, very universal for many different types of players. Started selling that, and that was the very beginning of MHA Athletics. Actually, that was one of our first products, was the paddle, and I used that and still do actually at a lot of tournaments, and people will see it and they just come up, hey, I love that paddle, like, can you tell me about it? And it's been a great way to get people to talk and open up. You know, they ask about the paddle, and now that's an opportunity to share my story, spark a conversation. The paddle design alone has really helped me be able to reach a lot of people. Pickleball, I mean, I love pickleball, but ultimately my story is to help people with the mental health. Pickleball is just my way of doing it, my way of reaching people.
The vehicle, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh goodness, your story is so unique, and it's really just an awesome and encouraging and inspiring story. And my hope is that someone will listen to this and be so encouraging that they'll pass this episode link on to another friend who may be aching or hurting, or parents who are watching their children, and that this will be a message of hope and life and encouragement for so many people to know that, yes, we can talk about this, and it's good to talk about this, and we can encourage each other and support each other. And that's really what I hope this episode going out will do. Plus, shed another spotlight on you and your, really, it's a ministry the way I look at it.
MHAathletics.com.
Athletics.com.
And then more on the pickleball side of it, I have a website, sideout-pickleball.com. And that's more of products and things. The MHA Athletics is also products, but it's only the our gear with our logos and more mental health related. So either website, I do read emails to those. I do that all personally. So I mean, there's definitely ways to get in touch if somebody wants to. And hopefully they do.
Yeah. Well, very good. And thank you so much for coming on the show, for holding that torch up also, and just that to see that God is operating in your life and that He's so gifted you and blessed you in so many ways, and that your journey has not really been in vain. There is purpose there. And I keep having the thought, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You're just surrounded by wonderful, loving parents and people who really encourage you and applaud you and are so very proud of you and your work. And we would say, you know, keep on going, just keep that light burning and keep on. And who knows what God has in store, even from here on out. So it's such a delight to talk to you. And I can't wait to see you on the pickleball court.
Yeah.
And, you know, we played pretty well the other day, the last time you were around. And it's such a pleasure and a thrill to play with someone like Will, because he has so surpassed the, you know, the skill level of where I am. But, you know, and one thing I'll say about that, on the court, you're just so, and I don't know if you're like this with everyone, but you're just very encouraging and lighthearted. And, you know, you're a lot like Jim. Jim is just so glad to be there and happy to be there and talking and just cutting up and laughing. And you all really make, you have a good time playing pickleball, and you're kind of easy to play with. Now, Jim and I have a hard time sometimes playing. That's why I wrote the pickleball devotional, Pickleball Passion.
Hey, which is a great one, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Someone just reminded us that we were playing yesterday, and Shauna said, don't forget the Pickleball Passion, because she was noticing how we were interacting while we play, because it's so hard sometimes to play. And I was like, oh, yeah, I need to do those things, you know, that are in that book. But anyway, thank you so much, Will, for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Definitely. Yep. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap, Brain Changer. And listen, if you like what you hear, would you leave us a 1-2 sentence review at Apple Podcasts, share the link with a friend, or tag me on your share on social media? It would mean the world to me and would help us to keep shining the light of Christ and sharing the good news to others who are in need of encouragement. Please visit us on our website at choosetothink.co, that's with the number 2, choosetothink.co, to get on our monthly newsletter list. And if you need a guest speaker for your next women's retreat or church event, I'm your gal. Email me at choosetothink@gmail.com, and that's with the number 2, choosetothink@gmail.com. Finally, I offer limited free mentoring sessions each month where you and I can chat to help you develop a strategy for your thoughts in any area of your life. I'm a certified life coach, and I have something to share. Visit choosetothink.co and click on mentoring for more details. Also, keep in mind that the messages on this show are for informational and educational purposes only. Please consult your medical doctor for all medical issues. Thank you again for tuning in. God bless you.